for those of you who managed to tune in, God bless you for hanging on. So yeah, this is the Shotcast number 1,000,007, it turns out. And I am Bo. I am one of three co-hosts. As always, we like to begin our evening just seeing how everybody is. You know what I mean? Just checking in, touching base, if you will. So, Justin, how are you? How you feeling? How you doing?
I'm doing great. I got a kit for a keyboard in the mail today, so I put that together, did some soldering, and put this keyboard I've been waiting for a long time together. It's pretty awesome. I'll send you guys some pics later.
Is it a like a mechanical keyboard or is it like a Korg?
It is a mechanical keyboard.
Okay, yeah. That's what I figured.
It's basically a full size keyboard, but all the keys are crammed together as close as humanly possible. So it's like 96 keys, but there are no open spaces.
What is the advantage of that? Just small keyboard?
It's just smaller, and it's just weird and unique. You could go down a rabbit hole of all the different kinds of mechanical keyboards that are out there. There's like, it's just stupid.
How many mechanical keyboards do you own, Justin?
I'm not at liberty to discuss. Okay,
can't discuss
it. More than three. Less than 10.
Less than 10, okay.
Yeah,
I was going to say less than 8, but
this is the first one that I literally, you know, all the individual pieces came to me. So, like, I got this just heavy aluminum case that was milled, and then the actual, like, PCB. And then, you know, I bought the switches separate. So, I mean, I literally sat there and soldered in 96 switches into this PCB and then put the rest of it all together, and it has like some LED lighting under it, so it's stupid.
Is it if you were to compare this is how my projects always work. If you were to compare the soldering on the first few keys you did to the last few keys you did, is there like a marked improvement by the time you get to the end?
Yes, because before this I had soldered a total of maybe 30 or 45 minutes in my life, and that was a couple of LEDs.
So you're just blowing the record out of the water with this project.
Yeah, I have a friend who, this is what he does. He just like designs guitar pedals and sells guitar pedals. And so I had like contacted him and had asked him to just, if I could, you know, we just hang out and he shows me how to do it. And then it came in the mail today. And I saw like a album where someone had already put one together, and I was just like, you know what? I'm just gonna go to Home Depot. I'm just gonna do it, you know. And just 30 minutes later, I was sorry, switches.
Although I do like the fact that like the trip to Home Depot was like, I've got to do this, you know, like you're storming the beachhead.
Yeah, no, my girlfriend.
That's what every trip to Home Depot is like.
Well, sometimes. Yeah, you know, you're right, though. You know, every time you go to Home Depot, you're like, we're going to go to Home Depot. We're going to get this thing. We're going to get that thing. We're going to come back. We're going to do this. We're going to do that.
We're going to get in. We're going to get out. No distractions. Yeah,
next thing you know, you've bought a Dr. Pepper and some Haribo gummy bears on the way out. And you're like, you want to watch?
And a 12-horsepower shop vac, you know, because you need one of those. Yeah. Oh, a hammer drill.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, I didn't actually own a drill until about a year ago. I'd never in my life owned a drill.
It's an all-purpose tool.
It's true.
Yeah.
Other than all that stuff, I started watching Vice Principals, which I don't know if you guys have checked that out or not, but I feel like he's bounding down and Jody Hill and that stuff. It's his new show. It's pretty freaking hilarious, and Walter Goggins is in it, and I love Walter Goggins.
Yeah, I'm a little behind on that show at the moment, but I'm back a couple of episodes, but it is tremendously funny. I think if you like Danny McBride, and Justin, you and I both share a love of Walton Goggins, I believe.
Yes.
And
yeah, he is just a wonderful, amazing actor who, I mean, it's just a goofball. It's, you know, he just seems like he's having such a good time doing all that stuff, and he can do so many different things. He was, you know, obviously Justified, and he was on an episode of Community that's hilarious just because of him. I mean, he's great.
He's really good on Sons of Anarchy as well. I don't know if...
I don't want to mention that one because that's like the... You should just experience that naturally. But if you're going to watch Sons of Anarchy, that is a reason to watch it just for that, for his appearance.
Yeah. And he pops up a couple of times and he's one of the greatest characters. And the reaction of one of the main characters to him in that that series is absolutely delightful. But yeah. I got to say, the one thing I will, by the way, send your kids out of the room for the next part. One of the things I love dearly about Walton Goggins on Vice Principals is he says the word motherfucker better than any person alive. There's a great moment when they're, as they're conspiring against the principal of the series, they go, they pull up to a house and Danny McBride thinks it's the principal's with Walton Goggins in the passenger seat with him. And he says, look at that shithole. And Walton Goggins goes, that's my house, motherfucker. That's a mid-century sea ranch. And the delivery of that line, it has been an unending source of joy for me ever since seeing it. It's really, really wonderful. So, yeah, good stuff. John Dolan, I almost forgot your name.
Oh.
Swear to God, this whole week, we'll get to it. John Dolan is here with us. John, what's going on with you?
Not much. You know, same old, doing all the normal shit I got to do so that I could then play video games type of stuff. Although, I did watch a lot of the Olympics, which I did on the PlayStation View.
So you're the one.
Yeah.
Is that
apparently not you're NBC it.
Coverage? Is that some other channel's coverage?
No, it was NBC coverage. It was so I did the you can do free trial on the smallest package that they have. I did the there was a 7-day free trial, so I watched the first half of the Olympics. And you got like 53 channels or something like that. And so, you know, while there were Olympics being broadcast, there was probably anywhere between 5 and maybe 9 channels broadcasting different things. So you could kind of pick what events you wanted to watch and shit. It worked really good. I was actually pretty impressed with it. And when the 7 days was up, I re-upped for 1 month to just play around and see what other else kind of was on there. So I've been dicking around with that. I don't think I'm going to keep it. I think I'm just going to stick to Hulu and Netflix because I am more of a watch things when I want to watch them, not watch what's on kind of a guy. So, but it worked really good. I was pretty impressed with it. Just a couple of like loading hitches, nothing more so than like I get with a Netflix or whatever, where you'll be like watching a show and it pauses for 5 seconds to rebuffer or something like that. But that didn't happen very often. Picture was decent, HD, you know, worked good. And I was pretty impressed. And I was doing that wirelessly on the PlayStation as well. It's not a hard line, so.
Oh, okay. Well, and that's probably why you got some buffering, because I've never seen that when I'm watching a show. Like, I've seen it take some time in between loading channels.
Yeah.
But I've never been in the middle. Well, maybe I have. It happens.
It wasn't much.
Right. Yeah. It's real rare. I didn't give that the proper significance at first, because I've been talking to my buddy Chad, and he is on the PlayStation View now. And for some reason, I had, you know, sort of combined you and he into one person, which actually would be one of the greatest guys I ever knew, come to think of it. But anyway.
We're both half a man.
Yeah. Like if you put, because you both have significant failings, but I think both of you were combined into, like, stitched together into some, you know, man with two brains kind of scenario.
It'd be like a manwich kind of a thing. Like, yeah, buns are good and, you know, sloppy Joe meat's pretty good, but you put them together.
Manwiches are always good.
You got that a manwich. That's right.
Yeah. That is a universal truth. But
I would be reincarnated as a manwich. I think that'd be pretty sweet.
Yeah, but it's such a short life. Like, you're in a jar.
Yeah, but so then you get to pick something else right away. Like, yeah, you know what? I'm going to try manwich, because that's, I know what to expect.
I know eventually I'm going to be poop, and that's going to be the end of it.
Then move on and try something different. Like, maybe you'll do manwich again. Maybe it was a really positive experience. You know?
I, I wonder where Manwich falls on the reincarnation scale. You know, because
I'm going to work, honey. I'll see you in hell. it's all over after today.
I think my personal preference is House Cat.
Nice. Yeah, that'd be a pretty sweet gig. It's a little long. Yeah. Like 20 years. Yeah, I don't know.
But it's 20 years of napping. Yeah, that's pretty
great.
Thumbs.
You don't, not having thumbs always kills me. Like, everybody always wants to come back as some animal, and I'm like, but you won't have thumbs. That'll suck ass.
Unless you come back as a monkey, then you get thumbs for days.
Thumbs are big, man. You gotta have thumbs.
What the hell were we talking about?
PlayStation View.
PlayStation and then I went View.
Off on a Manwich tangent.
No. That's fine. So my buddy Chad gave up cable and is just on the PlayStation View now. That's all I mean, I also have like Netflix and Hulu, but I have the PlayStation View as well. And here's what I'll say about PlayStation View, and correct me if you feel like I'm speaking out of turn. I think it is the best cable replacement I've seen so far. In terms of, like, I want the experience of sitting down and flipping through channels and seeing live television, that kind of thing. I don't think there's anything else even close in terms of, like, reliability and feature set. I think it's a really good service.
I do, too. I think that would I ever go back to a cable-like service, I would pick that over either Dish Network or Comcast, mostly just because I thought the guide system was extremely simple and streamlined, and it was just a time runs from the top of the screen to the bottom of the screen, and what you're watching is represented by a red line that just goes right down the middle of all the channels, and each column is a channel. And if you want to know what's on a different channel, you just push the thumbstick on your PlayStation controller to the left and it slides over, and you just see where you are in the program. Like if it's 920, some of the program will be above the red line and some of the program will be below the red line. Like you just, it's a perfect representation of just like a video library. I thought that was fantastic. And I always fucking hated Comcast menu where you had to go right to left and you could only see like an hour and a half of information. Their guy just fucking sucked. And like Dish and DirecTVs are both like that. I thought the PlayStation View guide was phenomenal. That alone would get me to choose their service over the other ones.
Yeah.
Plus
it
fucking works great, like you said. So
yeah, I'm a real big fan of it. Like I've actually fallen back into the habit of sport watching political shows again, and like being able to check out, like flipping between MSNBC and Fox News is my favorite thing in the world to do in the evenings.
just to get the contrast.
Yeah, just the whiplash of, you know, like, you know, President Obama is one of the best presidents we've ever had, and it's going to be a shame to see him go. And then, you know, you flip over to the other channel, and it's like, you know, he's probably the devil, certainly not born here.
He is the leader of Al-Qaeda.
Right, the founder.
He's an idiot. He's a complete moron.
Yeah, and that's the weird juxtaposition, right? Yep. And it happens on both sides, is either someone is stupid and incompetent, or they're evil geniuses.
Yeah.
They can't be both at the same time. Like, I think Donald Trump is stupid and incompetent.
Mm-hmm.
I think Hillary Clinton is an evil genius.
Yes.
So.
I agree.
I am an equal opportunity offender. So real quick, and I know I've been chatting it up anyway, but let me tell you about my week here, and specifically my weekend.
Sorry, can I just interrupt for a second?
Yeah.
I mean, I knew we weren't going to. We usually don't get very political on this show, but I'd just like to throw my endorsement behind Manwich 2016. Manwich.
All
meat, all day long.
Yeah, Manwich is the official presidential sandwich of the Shodcast.
The president.
Maybe high school principal sandwich.
Something about that sentence is fantastic. The official presidential sandwich.
Right, but
of the Shodcast.
In context, we mean, of course, the sandwich running for office. And that's why the listeners who are watching right now are the only ones who truly are going to get the in-jokes. So, yeah, man, witch it up. So over the weekend, I was, all right, where do I start with this? Okay, so every now and again, I get it a wild hair to do PC maintenance, which just means I'm going to change some stuff about my computer for no good reason. And so what I did in
this is all working perfect. I should fuck with this.
Yeah, this sounds like a great
in there, man.
Let me just give a perfunctory and universal, I know. All this entire story is going to be, yes, I know that this was stupid. In retrospect, I recognize that at the time I made the poor choice. So I swapped cases. That actually was good because the case I had was kind of loud and I got a much quieter case and I really like it. So during that process, I didn't repaste my processor. I also didn't remove the cooler from the motherboard during the transfer, so I thought it was fine. But when I have it running for a couple of days, I noticed the processor's running hotter than I would like. And the fan that I had, I wasn't totally happy with it. So I was like, you know what? I'm kind of in the mood. Let's go ahead. I'm just going to get another cooler and I'll put that on the processor. So again, that's what happens and that's what I do. But what followed the installation of, you know, the water cooler on my processor was, let's say a solid 24 hours of the computer won't boot. Why isn't the computer booting? I think it's a Windows problem. Maybe I somehow or another, this Windows installation got corrupted and all the booting I was doing. So let me do a reset on the installation. Like, I'm not getting rid of the files, that Windows move, right? Where you're just kind of reinstalling Windows to repair it. And that doesn't do it either. And so then I start pulling out hardware. And the first thing I yank out is my beautiful, my lovely 980. And it, everything boots up fine. And I'm like, oh, that's not good.
No.
Yeah.
Power
so
supply.
Well, here's what I do, because I'm a troubleshooter at heart. I take another video card and put it into the same slot using the same power supply. Boots up fine.
Nope.
Yeah, but that graphics card didn't take as much power as that 980.
Yeah.
Yeah, but it was working before.
Yeah, but it was working okay. Before.
Okay. I've been in this exact same situation, and it's a
nightmare. It was just
why I bought a 750-watt power supply.
Yeah, the one thing I haven't done yet, and I'll do it this weekend sometime, is to take my 980 and put it in my other machine and see if I get different results there. But at any rate... Yeah. So the 980 had to get pulled out and I'm short a graphics card in the PC I use the most. And, so I got a new graphics card, which that part's cool. Other than the fact that I didn't really want to pay for a graphics card right now, but I got a 1070.
Ooh.
So I moved up. Yeah. I was like, if I'm going to buy one, yeah. What am I going to do? Buy another 980? Yeah. Let's just do this. So I got the 1070, and that thing actually climbs out of the case three times a night at varied intervals and just punches me in the face for not playing better games on it. It's aggressive, and I'm a little scared of it. But so I got that. So that was my weekend of just like PC repair issues. And it took way longer than I wanted it to. And the one thing I lost data-wise is my movie library. Not the movies themselves, but like all my organization that I had done and like distinct genres and weird shit like that. Yeah, I lost all that, which was a shame because that was like, oh God, that was like 15, 16 hours worth of finicking. But, you know.
Was that like a Plex playlist or something?
Yeah, yeah. It was sort of the like the movie art and you know, genre definitions and stuff like that. I use a program called Ember Management, which works with Kodi. And which is
that's a bummer.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. That was a because I got a lot of movies and it takes a long time to comb through them. But anyway, I'm actually almost done. So I've been doing a lot of that. At any rate, so yeah, that's that was my weekend. But oh, and one last thing, John, your in-laws are gone. They've been staying with you for some time.
Yes.
And I just wanted to offer some congratulations. You're with us again.
It was an extended stay.
And by extended, you mean weeks and weeks.
Yes.
It was a long time, because like a month, is that right?
Yeah, about that long.
Oh, you sound so broken.
Yeah.
Sounds like you went to the principal's office a couple times during this stay.
No. I just try not to stir the pot.
All right, so before we talk about what we played this week, because I know there's one game we've all played, and let's just get this out of the way, right? So, buckle in. Let's talk No Man's Sky. I'm probably the dissenting opinion, so I'll try to get this out of the way real quick. I think the game is gorgeous. I think it's a little half-baked. It on my PC, it ran kind of shitty too. And I had to do some tinkering with it just to get it to, you know, not have a bunch of frame issues and that kind of thing. And a lot of clipping, oddly. It was real weird. But I think that there is plenty to like about this game. And if you do like this game, I don't think you're a terrible person. Or uninformed or anything. It's just like, you know, I just the mechanics of I'm gonna shoot my mining thing at a rocker tree and collect some stuff so I can go to another planet and do that again. And then occasionally there's gonna be some trading, and I mean there's just not enough there for me as a game player. But what about you guys? What do you think?
I would agree with you that it is a glorious grind that never ends. it is a grinding game. If you don't want to fucking grind for shit, you are going to hate No Man's Sky, because that is a lot of that game. But what does it for me, I've played quite a bit of it. I've played probably about 30 hours now. And there is something about it that there's the how small it makes you feel. Because there's just endless places to go in the game. There's the what is this planet going to look like? Even if it's just a slight variation, it's so far, it's been 30 hours. I've never really been let down. Every planet has been different enough where it's still cool every time. And I'm coming from... this is the guy who likes to dig holes in Minecraft, so keep that in mind. But I haven't worn out on it yet. It's got me in the same way that the Mad Max game does, and that has similar detractors. Like, you know, the combat is not deep enough. You know, well, you get that with No Man's Sky. The things that you do are not deep enough, and I totally agree. There are, I don't know, you can go to a monolith. You can go to a shelter where you might find an exosuit. You could go to... a transmission beacon, which may or may not lead you to a crashed ship so you can get more slots in your ship. So there's only like four main things you can do. And within each four of those four things on a planet, there's, you know, a couple of subsets, like different versions of outposts or different versions of transmissions or whatever. But it's like just enough to keep me playing it. Like I every fucking night this week, I put that game in and I just cannot stop because it's just got that. There's enough of that hook there that's just going to keep me playing it for a while. I agree that it's gorgeous. I like the blown out color of it. I like I believe the creators referred to it as like 70s sci-fi, you know, book covers was kind of the style they were going for. And I think they fucking nailed that.
Yeah. I think on the PS4 version in particular, like one of the methods they used to get the visual style was to put a one pixel Gaussian blur around everything.
Hmm.
And that's what gives it that kind of swimmy look sometimes.
Yeah.
It definitely has a style. No question.
Definitely. I think, you know, I think I agree with everything you guys have said so far. And I think all the faults that this game has are things that can be fixed with more content. You know, I mean,
sure. Yeah.
You know, there's four missions right now, but, and this is, I've read a bunch of people talking about this. They're like, if you just let some people loose with just the tools of this, you know, this engine and, or even this game, and let people just start creating other games with it, with the same, you know, engine or this, even just inside of No Man's Sky, I think this, you know, you could really have something with this. The technology is amazing. You know, I mean, if you really, it makes you feel small. And if you really sit back and think about the, what they're doing, it's pretty crazy. And for how, empty some of it might be, it's a heck of a lot more populated than the planets in Elite Dangerous.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah. And that was a comparison that I thought was very apt as well, because I got super bored of Elite Dangerous because there literally was nothing to do in that game but fight or do, you know, runs of cargo from one station to another. And that was, you couldn't land on planets. And if you want to do that, you have to pay extra to be able to land on planets. So, you know, that game's shit. That game's fucking gorgeous too. And it's super fun to play, but that is a fucking shallow game. And at least there's something to do in No Man's Sky. Like, I'm going to play way more No Man's Sky than I did of Elite Dangerous. That's for sure.
I kind of look at it as stepping stones towards what everyone's going to end up deciding is like the space simulator, which, you know, like Elite Dangerous was proof of concept that you could actually get it out there and get a ton of people playing it. And then No Man's Sky is kind of the technology of, well, now you can create an entire universe and populate it with some amount of density. And then hopefully Star Citizen will be the final step of that where,
hold on.
I mean, I'm not going to go into all that stuff, but, you know, to me, I feel like it's just, there's a logical progression of how these games are coming together. And I think in the next year or two, it might not be No Man's Sky, but that game is going to exist in its purest form and people will cling to it.
There is other stuff to do in No Man's Sky as well. There's the little path of the Atlas, but, you know, that's like kind of a small little, I don't even know what you'd call it. I guess it's a storyline, but it's very vague intentionally. And I kind of like it for that. It's just like, it's got this blind follower feel to it. Like, yes, show me the way.
Yeah. Like in all the decisions and things that I could actually read text in, you're just like, if I don't just blindly follow this quest, it's just going to end and that's it. And I'll just go do whatever.
Yeah.
And it's kind of weird.
Oh, I was going to say, so there's modders already at work on this thing.
Yes.
And so I guess before I get to that, so there's tons of criticism of No Man's Sky. Review scores are really low. I think it's like 53% on Steam right now, 53% approval. But all of the people that are giving it, you know, a negative review seem to have the same complaints to me. They say it's boring, there's not enough to do, or they say it's not what was promised.
I don't get that aspect of it, but I also haven't followed the marketing behind this game in really the past probably 4 or 5 months, really. I mean, to me, this game was always sold as you're a single player in this universe. It's going to be so vast that you're, I mean, I feel like he said it's going to be so vast that you're never going to run into another player. And from the get-go, to me, that meant it's just not going to be possible, you know?
Yeah,
you know?
I mean, I can see people saying, well, he didn't say you couldn't run into other players. It's like, yeah, you're really grasping there, but they're not wrong, but it's like a really picky point.
Yeah, there are more constructive arguments to be made about this game than
What if they were to add that ability? Would you shut the fuck up then? Yeah. Probably not, is the thing. Yeah. It's all the trolls out there screaming really loud, because I like the constructive criticism of the game. People who are saying, yeah, this is cool, but there's not enough here. But what if you added this? What if you did this? Like you're talking about, you know, what will the game be a year from now? Like, if they support it, I think the best way they could support this game, obviously they want to sell DLC or something like that, which is fine because they want to make money, whatever.
Yeah.
But they could really do a service to this game and make it truly great by making an editor that they release to players where you can go to a planet. And they, I've heard rumors of this, that there's a base building aspect that they will be releasing. I haven't heard much about it since release. But things like that, if you could make unique structures that wouldn't, you know, totally overload the database and crash it so that when other people went to where you had built this stuff, they would see what you had built. And I can see like a real, that like the tools that are in Fallout 4, where you can build your little city. Like if you could, you don't necessarily have to run into the other player for me to be satisfied, although that would be fucking sweet. But if you could just go to these planets and see, you know, that someone had taken their mining laser and just dug out a huge fucking hole in the ground and then built a giant outpost in the bottom of it or something. Or if you could, you know, build rocks up in some huge mountain, or build, somebody builds a fucking pyramid or something. If like the database could store that information, if there's a way to do that, like this game is a really solid foundation for that type of stuff.
I feel like something else might happen too in this. I've heard the base building thing. I've also heard that they've mentioned like bigger ships. Like perhaps like a ship you could walk around inside of that you can control. And it would be interesting to see if you could travel to these planets and recruit some of these different, you know, NPCs that you run into to crew your ship. And maybe they, you know, they give you some kind of attributes, or they automatically collect some kind of resource or something like that. That'd be pretty cool aspect to add to it.
So, and all the stuff that we're saying, I've read as a criticism in forums from all these people who are just going crazy saying, you know, accusing people of, you know, what we're talking about right now of, well, see, you admit that the game is thin because you're trying to make it better. And I don't buy that argument. I think I'm just trying to make the game better. Like, I enjoy it for what it is, but man, wouldn't it be cool if it had this? I don't think that's like, there's people that just get shouted down on forums for saying things like that. And I don't understand that at all. Like, why wouldn't you want the game to be better? I don't get it.
Yeah. And I think the one thing that we can all, you know, kind of come around to is, yeah, between modders and patches and all that stuff, like this could be the start of something beautiful. Mm-hmm. Yeah, you know, it's just right now, like, I get people's disappointment, and people do dumb stuff when they're disappointed. Yeah. You know, like they're and that's why you see, you know, people pointing the finger at people and in directions that maybe don't make a lot of sense. But it's because everyone wanted this game to be great. And when you saw that original E3 trailer, that's what the game looked like, you know, and I know that that's made the rounds as well. People talking about the E3 trailer.
Even the trailer that's on the front page of Steam right now, it's got some of that E3 footage in it where like the big giant rhinoceros comes crashing through the trees and there's fucking animals everywhere. That does not happen in No Man's Sky. That is a pre-rendered trailer. And it's like they're exactly as guilty of that as Ubisoft is for like The Division, where they had all this shit in the trailer that is not in the game. It's the exact same thing. You know, Hello Games did this to themselves to a large extent. You know, they did. It's like the cardinal sin of video games is to put out a fucking trailer that isn't what your game looks like when your game comes out. And they need to stop doing that shit because you're just pissing people off. It's going to happen every fucking time. So I hold them responsible as well. Their message was not perfectly clear. I think that's the best example of it, because you can still go to Steam and look at it, and that's just not what the game looks like. It's not. It would be great if it did. It's not that. The fidelity is not that high.
Yeah.
So they're still doing it to themselves.
All right. So
I completely understand the hate. I like my recommendation, like if I could go back in time 2 weeks before this game came out and I could see it and play it, and know all of the things that were going to blow up, like if I could see the future at that moment, I would say, delay this game for a year. Just do it. Just delay it for a year. Yeah. Say, you know what? We did some internal playtesting, and it's not complete. And maybe show some video at that time and say, it can do all this stuff, but we want to make it better, so we're not releasing it. And people would have gone fucking bonkers. But
or you
know, maybe it would have been better.
Just release it early access in the state it is now. Right. Keep selling it and keep developing it.
Yeah, we've decided we want to continually develop this game. We like what's here. We feel it's in a playable state. That would have been perfectly acceptable. I think anybody that started screaming about that would have literally just been making the, well, I don't want to make it better argument, and you look like an idiot. So
Yeah.
So,
all right. Any other final thoughts on No Man's Sky before we move along?
Some of the animals look like private parts.
Have you found one that's like a deer, and then it has like a big long neck with like a dick on top of it, but coming right out of the top of the dick is like a flower?
I've seen some stuff like that.
Something similar.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, not No Man's Sky, but I've seen that kind of thing before.
Yeah. There's some funny shit. There's some fucking nightmarish looking bugs and stuff that are always mean. They always have like 10,000 legs and they come crawling at you and you got to fucking shoot them.
Oh, yeah. The cave bugs in particular kind of piss me off, but...
Yeah.
I
mean, there's other... how much do we want to talk about this? There's other shit that's broken. Space combat is useless to me in No Man's Sky. I hardly ever engage in it at all because it's just kind of dumb.
Yeah, like the aiming is pretty wonky. They could have done a lot more to make that experience a lot more enjoyable.
I don't see the point to it. Like, pirates have attacked you. You have to kill them before you can move on because it will not let you engage your hyperdrive to evade them. You have to fight them.
Gee, you guys are terrible. I thought I was the guy who didn't like No Man's Sky. You guys are savages.
I hate this game because I like it so much. It's really fun. I'm having a great time playing it, but there are portions of it that are just, yeah, this, I don't need this, you know, or this needs to be more. So I completely understand the argument that it's not complete, but it's just...
And power listener Andy, who's in the chat tonight, pointed out something else that pisses me off about this game while we're at it, which is that the Sentinels show up and spoil a good time whenever you try to have one.
That's true. Yeah, the Sentinels are also dumb.
Like, I'm just trying to break this door down.
Yeah, that needs to be removed from the game.
Come on. Like, there's nobody around here. Like, you guys really don't care about this.
It's not a very robust system is the problem. It's... I blew up three things. I blew up plutonium. And I know when I blow up plutonium that that's going to piss off the Sentinels. And depending on what their rating is on the planet, like there are just like these systems in the game. And once you learn them, it's entirely predictable, which kind of pulls away some of the veil of the, you know, the awesomeness that is the procedural generation and all that stuff. So when you start to see those seams, it just doesn't seem as cool. I think the thing that bothers me most about the Sentinels is when you trigger them, you can just run into a building and then they go away.
You know, my...
That's not a very deep... Like, the AI is just, like, non-existent for those things.
All I want to do in this game is find a planet and conduct a systematic genocide of that planet's population. And I don't want the Sentinels ruining that for me.
You want to play the game, you want to play it.
Right.
Yeah. I mean, it would be... I think I would mind the system for the Sentinels less if they weren't on every single planet.
Like, yeah, if they were only on planets that had some sort of extra value to them, maybe there's something special there that you could acquire.
Or if they weren't so obviously distributed to your location. Like, why is there always a Sentinel flying around everywhere you are? Like, is that realistic? You know, they could... make it so if I'm destroying a whole bunch of shit that triggers the Sentinels, it's not always 10 seconds until they get there. It could be it's 30 seconds. Sometimes it's a minute, but maybe because it took them so long, the response is more severe. You start getting the dogs and you start getting the walker guys, you know. It's just not a very deep system. So
I think the logical answer to your question of why did they focus on you, clearly you're playing a black character.
It's true. It's true. Racism knows no bounds. Not even in the infinite universe of No Man's Sky.
It is No White Man's Sky is what that
bringing
game is.
Me down. Here we go. Tell us how you really feel about No Man's Sky. No Man's Sky. I really like it. I, you know, I don't know what to say other than that.
Yeah.
I could recommend it to, you know, 100 people, and 50 of them would be like, that was the worst fucking game I ever played. What do you like this crap? And the other 50 would be like, yeah, that's super cool. So, I don't know. There doesn't seem to be a middle ground on this game. Like, I can recognize it for its faults, but I really like it. I don't like 60% like it because some of its faults. I really like it. I think this is like an 8 or a 9 game. But, yeah, there's problems. So, I don't know. It's a tough one. Yeah. It's really weird.
I'm kind of ambivalent about it because there are things I like, but I also think it's real boring. But then again, I'm ambivalent about 89% of everything in my life, so why should this be any different?
92% of the time, you're 89% ambivalent?
That's accurate. Justin?
Yes?
What else have you been playing, aside from the NMS, as the kids call it?
Definitely played, a bit of that. Past that, I haven't played too terribly much. Once I saw the Star Citizen video, I immediately updated the client and messed around with that a bit. The performance is getting better. It's still, you know, not as optimized as it's going to be. But they've added some cool stuff now where, like, if you do the multiplayer experience of it, you wake up on this space station and you can call any of the ships that you've purchased and go fly them around. But it used to be that you just wake up and you just walk out there and call a ship and walk out to the dock and just get in. But now, and this is, you know, obviously the stupidest thing is, now you wake up and you're just like a dude wearing clothes and you have to go to like the store where they sell spacesuits. And you have to go, like, get your spacesuit, but there's, like, 15 different spacesuits, and then you can get, by doing missions, you get credits, so you can get different spacesuits. So, they're already, like, throwing things in there that just, you just are going to waste your time just to get, like, oh, the spacesuit looks cool.
Yeah, but that's kind of what a game like this needs, right, is plenty of little stuff to keep you occupied.
I think gear is just, gear and the different attachments to ships and things like that are going to be, you know, people are going to trade that and mark it up and fight over it. It's going to be
cool. Plus, after playing Marulkin, the idea of doing that in a spaceship seems real cool as well. I like that.
That's going to be an interesting experience.
Yeah, that's another game that, boy, when they get to version 1.0 of that thing, it better be legit, or I mean people are just gonna take to the streets.
I was just gonna say I've really spent the most time my last week trying to put Linux on my MacBook Pro, and it just is a nightmare.
Those things are not compatible. What are you doing?
That sounds like some shit I would
so I ended up, like, I mean, I got it kind of working, and then I broke it trying to install the right drivers, and then found out that my MacBook Pro has like two different graphics cards, and this version of Linux just really doesn't like that. So I was just like, screw it, I'm just gonna run Linux in a virtual machine inside of my OS X on my MacBook, and that works perfectly fine.
You were making it too difficult.
Right, there are tools in place to do this. All right, well, John Dolan,
mm-hmm.
What have you been playing?
A lot of No Man's Sky. And I'll just say one more thing about that. I think my favorite thing to do in No Man's Sky is to take screenshots of shit. I like parking my ship in a cool spot with a bunch of cool shit behind it and basically taking pictures that I then use for desktop wallpaper on my computer. There's some fucking awesome looking shit in that game.
You should Photoshop Tawny Katan.
Yeah, my why not? I'll get on that. Get Photoshop going.
Still got the AT-AT picture, so.
I farted around with PlayStation View, as I said. And then the only other thing that I've played was a little bit of the new Hitman level that was released this week. It is a mansion in Bangkok, Thailand, and I think it's probably of the four locations that are out now. There's Paris, there's Italy, there's Marrakesh, yeah, four. It's kind of the weakest of the four, I think, so far. I like the map, and I the grounds of the mansion are pretty cool. It may be that I just haven't interacted with it as much as the other maps yet. I played about an hour and a half, which is usually in a new Hitman level, enough time to kind of start to get the lay of the land. But it's essentially just a really big house that you can walk around in, and you have to kind of figure out the systems within the house. It's a little disappointing. I was expecting it to be a little bit more, but I am looking forward to, and I'm going to live stream this if anybody, if you're listening to this not live right now and you're listening to the recording, it's too late to watch me do it live, but I'm going to live stream the Elusive Target that starts this Friday. I'll probably do that Friday or Saturday night. For anybody listening right now, I will post it to Facebook group or Twitter or some shit.
Also Pornhub.
But I don't know where that's going to be. I don't know if it's going to be on the new map or not. So I'm trying to familiarize myself with it a little bit so it makes it slightly more interesting so that I don't fail in the first 5 minutes, because then that shit's over. So
I may have asked this before, but is there an overarching story through these
there
missions?
There is. There is. Okay. When you finish a level, when you, you know, successfully assassinate the targets and exit the level, you get these little cutscenes at the end, and there's some lore in some of the menus. It's not a lot. It's very simple, but these you know, interstitials are fairly interesting, somewhat well-produced. They're just, you know, in-engine cutscenes. But, you know, they're decent. It's, you know, political intrigue, global domination, whatever you want. It's got it all, so... it's not the greatest thing you've ever heard, but it stitches it together kind of nicely. Like, it could totally be nothing and it wouldn't really impact that the game is fun to play. So it's just kind of a nice to have. So
it's just an interesting way that they've decided to do this game and develop this game. I kind of like it.
Yeah. And I don't know if I talked about it in the news on the last episode. Maybe I did, but where they, kind of confirmed that they're planning on doing two more seasons of content for this game.
Wow.
So they said, yeah, so when we finish up, because they have a level to release that's in Japan and a level to release that's in the United States still. And that is, they're considering that the complete $60 game. This is what you paid that price for. There's no discussion on, you know, above and beyond that, if there will be anything. But then they tweeted out some weird thing a couple weeks ago saying, yeah, so that's the end of season one after we release this content. And then, you know, we're looking to do one to two more seasons. And then when they were kind of pressed on it, somebody said, yeah, like three seasons of content is what we're looking at doing for this game. So if they just keep turning out cool missions and shit in this engine and then charge another, I don't know, $7 a map or something, $10 a map, they'll probably sell a lot of those because it's super fun. So that's about it. That's all I played. I've been playing fucking tons of No Man's Sky.
All right. That's understandable. Certainly. I only have a couple of games to bring to the table this week as well. Mostly cause my computer problems all weekend, but, I did play some Phoenix Wright Ace Attorney on the 3DS. They had the...
That's supposed to be a good one.
They had the first three games like at a real drastic discount on the Nintendo shop. And it was like $15 for the first three. And I was like...
Is that like an online service on the DS itself? Or do you get
it's their store. It's same thing as the PlayStation store. It's just the Wii version or the Nintendo version of that.
Oh, cool.
And and they've got, you know, a lot of old NES games. They do have Master Blaster, which I think Power Listener Andy had wondered. The Phoenix Wright Ace Attorney is real dumb fun. It's much more linear, I guess, than I thought. I thought it was more of a puzzle game, and it's really a game that's just like, if you screw up enough, the game's just over. You know, like if you're in the middle of a case, it's not like the whole gameplay is kind of almost like a point and click adventure where you're going around an area, interviewing people and kind of like scanning the area for clues and stuff like that. And that's one part of the gameplay. And that culminates in the trial sequences, which are almost kind of choose your own adventure, except you've got an inventory where, like, when somebody gives their testimony, you go through your inventory and you're like, oh, I've got this thing that proves they're lying, so I'll object. And that leads to other testimony, which, and you end up just kind of using everything in your inventory ultimately to point out that all these people are, you know, big filthy liars and probably murderers on top. So yeah, it's fun. It's a great handheld game in that I could sit down and play it for like 20 minutes and get through, part of one of the missions, but complete a significant chunk of the story of a particular case. And just put it down for a while and pick it up, 3 hours later. Particularly when I was screwing with the computer, it was great because while, Windows was doing its thing on a couple of occasions, it was like, okay, I'm going to play a little Phoenix Wright. So yeah, that game's all right. If you ever happen across a 3DS at a bus station, I guess.
Is that how you got yours?
No, I paid for mine outright.
Maybe you want it at a Chuck E. Cheese.
You don't win shit like that at Chuck E. Cheese's anymore.
They always have that machine with the boxes, though, where it's like iPad. It's like when you go to the carnival, like the midway at a carnival. And they have those, like, it's like the claw machines, but it's like a whole bunch of boxes hanging from a peg and you have to like slide some magnet through and hook them or some shit. Have you seen that one?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I've been in a Chuck E. Cheese within the past 12 months. Yeah. And, I'm not proud of that, but it happened. And it was garbage. Like, all the games aren't games. They're just slot machines for kids to get tickets. It is introducing children to gambling. That is all. In fact, if you could put, like, a gambling rehabilitation center for kids right next to a Chuck E. Cheese, you could really have yourself like a nice circular business plan.
Open one.
Right next door. Like we can clean your kid up.
Instead of a 12-step process, it's just a 1-step process.
Yeah.
We just beat them.
Beat them and take their money. Now you can't play any games. I'm going to have all your tickets. The other game that I have been playing is a little game called RimWorld. You can actually check out the Twitch stream, my personal Twitch stream, and you can see me playing the very beginning of this game. And really playing it badly because I didn't know what I was doing. But that is... okay, so for those who don't know, RimWorld is a game that name checks Dwarf Fortress in the description of the game. Like, hey, this is kind of like Dwarf Fortress, which is something I'd always heard about. It kind of like EVE Online or something like that, where it's like you hear all these crazy stories about stuff that happens in Dwarf Fortress, but why on earth would you ever play it? It seems so dense and it's all ASCII characters and that kind of thing, just kind of visually unappealing as well. So RimWorld is kind of, from my understanding, because I've never played Dwarf Fortress lighter. It's not exactly light on mechanics. It's just not quite as crazy as that. The other thing they name check in the description, which is what led me to it, is they also talk about Firefly and the idea of being, on a planet on the rim of what we know in the universe and that kind of thing. And it's a real hard scrabble life on these planets. You can pick one of three scenarios currently, although the Steam Workshop will offer many more. There's a lot of Steam Workshop stuff for this game. And I started off as three survivors of an intergalactic crafts crash. And which gives you a little bit of a bonus, which I wanted because I'm a dirty cheater.
You're the banker from Boston, man.
Exactly, exactly. But it like gives you some metal and stuff like that. You can also start as just like a tribe of people who live on this planet. It's really crazy. But so it's kind of a base building game and sim management game where you're controlling everything, but kind of third person, you know, like you have direct control over these little characters, which kind of look like Weeblewobbles a little bit. They're not like really articulated characters or anything. It's just kind of representations, little sprite representations of of these characters. You can kind of point them to do stuff. And the best way to describe what this game is like is to tell you this story. So as I'm playing the game, I've got my three characters, and there is a chart for each character that shows what their passions are, what they're good at. And then there's another bar where you can select jobs for them to do and the priority of those jobs. So, for example, I've got a guy who's really into medicine, is really passionate about learning about medicine. So I make sure on the scale, doctor is checked so that if somebody gets hurt, this guy's going to go do that. Make sense so far? Or somewhat? And yeah. I'm kind of just getting my feet wet with like, okay, I need to build a structure because there's no structure initially, which means I've got to mark trees for cutting. And then along comes an ostrich. And I'm like, I bet I could eat that ostrich. Or these guys could, not me personally. So I find a guy who's real talented with melee, you know, fighting dudes. So I send him after the ostrich. I'm like, go punch this ostrich to death, essentially. And it turns out the ostrich is like the Terminator of the animal kingdom on this planet.
It's like the Velociraptor of birds.
And this ostrich fucked my guy up bad. So he passes out on the ground and has a little indicator above him like, hey, you need to have somebody come get him. He can't make it back under his own power.
Help, ostrich. Yeah.
Ostrich attack. So, you know, there's a bell clanging in the background. So I have to send a dude to go get him, and then another guy is busy building a structure and a hospital bed or a bed, which then becomes the hospital bed, right? Like, he's got to have a place to sleep that's not on the ground, or he'll just die. So I build the thing, and I build the hospital bed, and then late one night, a couple of days later in the cycle of this game, my guy who got attacked by the ostrich has been out for a while. And all of a sudden, it's nighttime, the other two dudes are asleep, but the ostrich survivor pops up all bright-eyed and bushy-tailed and starts wandering around in the dark. And I was wondering what was going on, so I click on him, and it says that his condition is that he has developed dementia as a result of this attack. Oh, no. And has just lost his shit and gone out into the wilderness. But wait, it gets better.
He's shell-shocked from the ostrich.
Yeah. But before he makes it to the edge of the woods, he sheds his clothes. Like, I found later behind him, there's actual a shirt and pants icon where he took them off. So he stripped nude and walked into the wilderness. It was fantastic. And so it's a game that has a bunch of weird mechanics. They're like pets and farming and all this stuff, but it's kind of a clockwork where all these other mechanics are happening, and generations will happen throughout the game. Like, you know, characters will have children and those children will develop traits, you know, kind of like Massive Chalice, you know, that kind of system, but way more complex. And the game is real bananas, and super complicated. And like, I've been checking the wiki a bunch and trying to figure out how to haul rocks, try to tell like, this dude, hold this rock over here. And I know there's a way to do that, but I haven't figured it out yet. So,
that guy he's coming back. I know he's coming back. because I know where he went. He went into the woods to scalp that ostrich's entire family.
Oh, wait. That ostrich showed back up, by the way. The same ostrich, and I could tell because it was wounded, and you could see blood on the ostrich. So...
This game sounds fucking awesome.
It's kind of terrific. But the ostrich comes trucking back through my area. And at that point, I was like, well, we're just going to shoot this thing. And I couldn't figure out like how to get the guy to pick up the gun and get the hunting and all that stuff. So the ostrich got away. But it's somewhere in that world, that ostrich is still out there. And so is Crazy Pants. Or Crazy No Pants, really, because he's naked in the woods. Who's probably going to die? He's probably dead already. But yeah, it's kind of a like you set the top in motion, and then a story spins out of it. You know what I mean?
I like these kind of games from the standpoint where you really have to try to stick with your first game that you started. Because trying to recover from all the bad decisions you make because you just don't know how to play the game yet is actually, it's usually like always very comical. Like you always end up with some good shit coming out of that. I know this because I have actually played Dwarf Fortress a little bit. It's installed on my machine right now. I've been secretly playing it. It's my secret shame. That game's really fucking hard, and I'm super psyched about RimWorld because of how hard... It's the ASCII, you know, interface of Dwarf Fortress. It's not impenetrable. It just requires a... It's almost like learning a programming language in a way, because you have to memorize a lot of shit about how the game works and what certain characters mean. And if you're away from Dwarf Fortress for even a short amount of time, you start to forget that shit. And it's a pain in the ass to like, you're constantly looking at wikis when you play Dwarf Fortress. And it seems like just because of the graphical interface on RimWorld, that layer would help with that immensely. Because in Dwarf Fortress, like you're looking at a thing that's a letter C and you're like, what the fuck does that mean? You know, is it a cat? Is it a camel? Is it a tree? And you just have to have a reference next to you to play Dwarf Fortress. I wish that Dwarf Fortress was more approachable because it generates exactly the kind of stories that you're talking about.
Yeah, and this seems to have that as its aim, is to, you know, be the graphical, more accessible Dwarf Fortress. And as it happens, you know, again, not knowing much about Dwarf Fortress beyond the stories I've heard, it seems like they've kind of nailed it from what I've heard. And I know my experience with the game, even though it's kind of daunting because there's just so much happening in the game at any given moment, but also being able to just like, you know, point, click, and drag to be like, okay, I'm going to designate this as my farming land. And because I've got this guy selected as a farmer or, you know, kind of ticked off as that being one of his jobs, as soon as I do that, he goes there and starts planning stuff. Like, I don't have to get too micro with it, but you know, it's still plenty complex. And man, as soon as that dude stripped naked and wandered off because of his dementia, I had fallen in love. You know, like that was the point where I was like, whatever happens other than this in this game. And I've heard way crazier stories that have been generated from RimWorld, but even if that was the only thing I ever experienced, that's still one of the crazier things that's happened in a game in, you know, a long, long time. You know,
it looks a lot like Prison Architect.
Yeah, it has that kind of art style for sure. Yeah, you know, like if Prison Architect were in space and about 20 times more complicated, then that's kind of RimWorld.
So what you need is the RimWorld back end to No Man's Sky.
Yeah. Oh, God. If you could do in No Man's Sky what you can do in RimWorld only with that graphical presentation, it would be the last game I ever played. Because seeing people kind of grow old and die and have kids, and like you start to kind of develop this weird intimacy with these virtual characters, which is really aided in this game by the fact that they have all these quirks kind of Darkest Dungeon style, where, you know, they're not as savage as that, but sometimes they are. Like, you know, sometimes it's just going to be like, hey, this dude's an alcoholic. Like, don't let him get in the room. He could...
Bad things right?
Like,
happen.
He could shoot somebody, just saying. So, yeah.
So this is early access,
it
right?
is. It's yeah. $30 for early access, which is kind of on the high end of early access cost. But there's a yeah. lot of game here, and I haven't run into anything that was like, I'm bumping up against the early access nature of it, where like there are just features that aren't there. It's more like, okay, we're tuning and adding things, and like a game that needs no further additions is going to get a bunch more stuff. And like I said, the Steam Workshop is crazy right now for this game. Huh. And there's all kind like scenarios you can load and feature sets. I think there's a Road Warrior set, just all kinds of crazy stuff. But yeah, like this game is I think kind of Minecraft for obsessive compulsives, and I can get behind that.
What's the medieval game that's like this?
Oh, like Crusader Kings 2?
Crusader Kings, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. But that happens more like a spreadsheet.
Yeah.
And yeah. This really...
This one looks a lot more like Prison Architect.
It's, yeah.
We were talking about, you know, this game and No Man's Sky being stuck together and how great that would be. But that is kind of the natural progression of how this shit works. You know, like you think about... the Batman combat system, as it is called, that gets plugged into a bunch of different games. You know, there didn't used to be a Batman combat system, and then somebody took one and stuck it in Shadow of Mordor, but also invented the... I forgot the name of it. The Nemesis system. You know, so now...
Which no one has used yet, to be fair. That Nemesis system
seems
to be on the shelf.
Which is interesting. So, like... Okay, so you've got a No Man's Sky. We can procedurally generate all these planets, and now you've got a Rimworld where we can have this dwarf fortress level of simulation going on these planets. And then you want a combat system? Well, you know, Batman's pretty good, and you want, like, a NPC, you know, interaction that actually has some weight to it. Well, you've got this Nemesis system that nobody is fucking using for anything. You know, eventually somebody decides, hey, let's stick those four things in a game, because that's what, you know, Mad Max got criticized for, was it was like, oh, well, this is just the combat system from Batman with the open worldness of GTA, you know. But until somebody did those things the first time, there was no opportunity to jam them all into one game. So like Justin was saying earlier, No Man's Sky is kind of the beginning of something great. So
yeah,
Rimworld seems super fucking awesome. I'm totally buying this game. I'm throwing away my fucking my no early access bullshit rule that I have, because I want to play the shit out of this.
Yeah, I, you know, I've got my stream up, and I'm probably gonna try probably Friday night. I'll get back on and get back into my world, because it's really fun to kind of stream that because of the dynamic nature of it.
How long have you spent in the current game?
Only about 3-ish hours, maybe 4. Okay. So not a ton.
And you already have a pretty sweet story that's arisen out of that.
Oh, so. Yeah. No, this happened within the first... It happened on my second play session. That happened. And I was like, oh, yeah, okay, I'm in. Yeah. So, but yeah, that's all I've been playing. And I'm really looking forward, now that I've got a little free time ahead of me, to play RimWorld on the real. I think there may be a 4 or 5 hour session Saturday that I could probably get behind, of just seeing what kind of craziness I can wreak. Every so often, a thing happens in the world of video games that's worth mentioning. One John Dolan collects them all for us here. John, how about some news?
Bat news. There's a couple things I didn't, that weren't on the news list that I sent you guys that have, come out since I sent that list. And I'll start with the
some hot news.
I'll start with the hottest of the hot news. If I can find it. Toe Jam and Earl turn up in a new trailer in a new game called Toe Jam and Earl Back in the Groove, which is being published by Adult Swim Games. Toe Jam and Earl?
Right.
Anyone? Genesis?
Yeah.
I never played it, actually.
You never played Toe Jam and Earl, is that what you said?
I never played Toe Jam and Earl.
Man, Toe Jam and Earl. Well, I don't know if this will do anything for you then. It's kind of one of those nostalgia things, I think. They will be adding co-op and online play with up to 4 players, which is kind of cool. Previously, it was like a couch co-op 2-player thing, rubber banded on the same screen. But it was, you know, Toe Jam and Earl was basically like a walk-around adventure game, find shit, had craziness, like you could, you know, get rocket skates and move around the universe faster, and it was weird. It's very hard to define what Toe Jam and Earl was other than awesome. It looks cool. I'm excited to kind of see what this new thing is. And then where was the other thing? Oh, the other one was Halo 5 Forge, where you can build your own maps and all that shit, is going to be released on PC. If I can find the article.
I've seen some wacky stuff come out of that.
It's coming out in September for free to the to Windows 10. You got to go on the Windows 10 store to get it.
Yeah, it's smart of them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Maps created in the Halo 5 Forge can be made accessible to other players on PC, the full game on Xbox One, and vice versa. The app even allows users to play custom matches of up to 16 players to test out their creations. This is on Polygon.com. We used to play the shit out of some Halo Forge maps, and that would be a lot of fun. What I really want to know is there some way that I can log into my old Bungie account and download the old maps that I made and somehow import them into this, because that would be fucking dope.
There's no way. There is no way that happens.
I know. But, you know, that would be fun.
Yeah, I know. A girl can dream, but it's not going to happen.
Yeah. I could probably rebuild them.
Well, sure, but that sounds like a lot of work.
Yeah, but I mean, yeah, that was something I did before I had a child, was build Halo.
The trick is, yeah, you get the kid into the map building and turn him loose on, like, go build a map. Yeah.
There you go, son. Recreate and then, this. Now move over and let dad play.
And then when he screws it up, you know, like the platforms aren't right, you know, you punish him severely.
All right, so there's a lot of news stories about No Man's Sky as well, and most of them are about all the backlash and shit, and we kind of discussed some of that already, so I won't go super into that, but there is a really good article written by Patrick Klepek for Vice Gaming called Inside the Nasty Backlash Against No Man's Sky, and the most interesting thing about that article was he interviewed a guy who had created a post on Reddit, and he had detailed all of the things that were said by Hello Games and the lead guy over there, Sean Murray, all the things that either the company had released or he had said publicly about No Man's Sky. And so this guy kind of gathered up all those things and said, okay, this isn't in the game, and they said it would be, and this isn't in the game, and they said it would be. And this post just fucking blew up, and all the people who were hating on the game were latching onto it. And all the people who were saying, I like the game, were latching onto it and saying, you know, yes, but they could still add those things. And this post just took off and got super huge on Reddit. And it was starting to get linked around all these news sites. And it was on the Steam forums. That's where I actually found it. And then the post disappeared off of Reddit. And everybody's like, they fucking took the post down. Hello Games fucking took this post down. This is bullshit. And that created like this whole new firestorm. So this article by Patrick Klepek, he actually contacted the guy who started this post. And the guy's like, yeah, I took it down because it was turning into this bash No Man's Sky thing. And the whole point behind me pointing out these problems was to just say, Hello Games, we really want to see these things in No Man's Sky. Will it ever happen? Can you make this work? Because this is the kind of shit that we really want to see. You know, he was trying to like do this really positive thing, and it just turned into the fucking flame bait of the universe. So he just took it down. He says it was too much. I was getting all these, you know, hate posts, people just ragging on the game and saying all kinds of nasty shit. So he took it down, and it just turned into a whole nother story. What was his quote? I got dozens of messages from people who congratulated me for really sticking it to these dirtbag devs when that wasn't my intention at all. People were taking the post and using it to fuel their own indignant anger. So it was even.
I like that there are people that think like these developers are dirtbags. They're just dirtbags, you know.
You know, I mean, so this is what this article does really well. Is it says game design is really hard. Like building the fucking space shuttle hard, I can only imagine. Like, the programming behind the video games that we play is probably some of the best programming happening in the world. Because they're doing things that no one has ever seen before. And Patrick Klepek makes a point in his article to say, if you want to see what is really involved in making a game, you should watch the Double Fine documentary that they did when they were making Broken Age, which I have watched beginning to end. And it's not only is it interesting because I'm interested in games, it is a fantastic documentary. It's really well produced. I believe I've talked about it at length on this podcast before. But I thought him bringing that up in this article was a very good point about, you know, the same things we said. Yes, people have reasons to be upset about this game being overpromised and underdelivered and all this crap, but this shit is super fucking hard, you know? So he doesn't just come out right and say, cut people some slack, but he does a really good job in this article of saying, listen, this is how it is. This shit ain't easy. So well-written, good read. Check that out.
Next. All right. I have since watched some of that Double Fine documentary. And I'm not all the way through it, but it's really good. You are totally right.
It just gets better as it goes on, too. I mean, like, you really feel like it gets into just like kind of the personal lives of the people involved in this. And they really, you know, you can see they really believe in what they do and they really love it. And like the temptation to take the skills that they have elsewhere and probably make more money must be overwhelming at times, but they just fucking stick it out, and you know, it's a hard job, and they do it well. So I can't recommend that documentary enough. Some other No Man's Sky news. Sony's refund policy has caused them specific fucking headaches around this, because their refund policy kind of sucks. In order to return No Man's Sky, if you bought it on the PlayStation Store digitally, you cannot have started to download it or play it in any way is the only way you can return it. So if you buy the game and it sits there and you never open it, you can return it.
Don't think about it.
Yeah.
Don't look at it.
Don't fucking look
don't
at it.
Don't think about looking at it.
Yep. So the worst part of that story was some guy, and it's apparently a couple people have confirmed that this was said to them when they tried to return No Man's Sky. Sony, like a call center rep, told these people that if you return the game and we refund it, you will never be able to download it and play it again on PlayStation.
Yeah, that seems harsh.
Which is really fucked up.
Yeah.
Like, why? What?
I mean, they're just like, that part is broken.
Yeah.
And if we do that,
nope, you tried
that's just what happens.
You fucking tried it once already and you didn't like it, so fuck you.
Yeah.
What the fuck is that? Yeah, that was the weirdest thing that I think came out of all this shit, was just how bad PlayStation's return policy is. Whereas on Steam, you have 14 days and you can play it for 2 hours, and if for any reason you don't want it, they just give you your money back.
And I can tell you that even if you're over that 2 hours by a little bit, you're probably still going to get your refund.
Yeah. I've never returned anything on Steam. I'm glad it's there, though.
Neither have I.
But isn't that a relatively new feature for Steam? I mean, they...
Fairly recent. Yeah. I mean, they've been doing that for a while. It's got to be almost a year that they've had that in place. And it was due to... They were being sued in a couple of European countries. I think France and England were both a part of that. Maybe it was Germany as well, where... I think it was Australia was a part of that. I can't remember. But like consumer protection laws in those countries dictated that they had to have a return system if they wanted to sell games via Steam in those countries. And that was how that kind of came about. So I can only assume PlayStation's going to run into that same shit.
Yeah, because, you know, it's about time. We live our lives in a digital age that we start thinking about things like returning digital goods and things like that a little more seriously, and don't just, you know, throw it off as like that doesn't exist, so you can't return it.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. That's really, really weird. No Man's Sky sales on Steam PC have stagnated incredibly. There's an article on, I found it on TechRaptor.net. No Man's Sky Steam PC sales stagnate is the title of the article, and they've got all kinds of nice bar charts that come from Steam Spy, which is a data aggregation site. It works pretty well. I don't know if you guys have ever messed around with Steam Spy, but there's some good information on there. But they're comparing a chart from the release and subsequent, like, what is this, about 3 months worth of sales of Total War Warhammer versus the data that's available for No Man's Sky, which is not much. To be sure, you're kind of comparing things a little early, but even just the first couple of days of sales, you can see there's a huge spike and an immediate leveling off of sales of No Man's Sky, obviously due to all the negative reviews. If you go on Steam, did we say it earlier? I think it's down like 52% positive rating on Steam. So it's interesting.
That seems low, though. I don't think that number's right.
There's a lot to talk about with No Man's Sky. There's so much shit going on around not just the game itself, but the release of the game and the hype behind the game. I mean, it was easily the most hyped game I think I've ever experienced in my life. So I don't imagine this kind of shit is going to go away anytime soon.
I think Justin's right. I think this is one of those things that it's a matter of time, right? Like, all that stuff comes around.
Well, and they've been actively patching, and we'll see what happens with it. In the meantime, mods. No Man's Sky mods are a thing. Justin, you said you tried out the low flight mod that takes away kind of the bubble wrap flight system that prevents you from crashing into the ground that currently exists in No Man's Sky and allows you to slam your ship into the ground. Is that correct?
I can confirm that you can now become a missile from space. You can literally turn your spaceship into a nuke and nuke it from space, because I just boosted all the way down, and I didn't have my controller plugged up, and the mouse controls were like inverted, and I, instead of going like up, I just went further, you know, plummeting, and I just smacked right into the ground. And it was amazing. It's exactly what it should have been from the get-go. You know, like, that should be one of your first experiences, is like, oh, maybe I shouldn't be going this fast. You know, like, you should have learned.
Coming in too hot and you just plow right into a fucking mountain.
Right.
That actually, for the first time that happened, would be a great moment in that game.
Yeah, because then you would know.
Whoops.
It's just this pillow under you, you know, in the game now. It's stupid. But yeah, I mean, it's a lot more fun. I think the mods are cool. I'm toying with the idea. There's a mod that basically reduces the cost of the takeoff engine, which I find to be utterly annoying. So I'm probably going to put that on and cut that by half, because I hate that I can only like go 4 or 5 places on a planet before I need to refuel. Which, I mean, you know, it's not a big deal to always have that stuff with you, but it's just, to me, it's like, you're so far in the future that really honestly shouldn't be those drives should be tied together and should share the same resource to some degree.
Right, or, it's not a 57 Chevy.
You're not just putting unleaded in it.
Right, like, yeah, this thing gets 1.5 miles to the gallon. I'll see it at the next gas station.
So you could go the opposite way with it, Justin. There is a mod that I read about earlier that they're calling a survival mod, which actually makes it cost more to fuel your jump jets.
I mean, at that point, you're just going to be looking for landing pads every planet you go to. I mean, that's that's the way to like get around that. And I mean, I like in that game just flying around and finding the little pillar things that teach you new words.
Yeah,
I feel like monoliths, that's a part of it. Yeah, but like there's ones that are just like scattered everywhere that teach you like a single word, and you just fly around a planet. You could spend hours just flying around one planet just looking for these little things that you can just walk up to. And, oh, now you know the word for poop.
Yeah, I mean the base is like the groundwork is so there in this game, because just that sentence, you can fly around the whole planet. Like what game could you have done that in previously, where it was like land and there's actually at least something to do? I mean, I don't know. I hope that they keep supporting this game, and mods, like, they really need to take on a community focused view. I hope that Sony is not too entrenched in the development of this game, because it seems like there's kind of a Sony attitude behind some of this shit. And I was reading an article about modding. It was posted on Nexus, which is a pretty popular mod site. And that guy was saying, like, giving some basic details about how to unpack the game files and what you were going to find and what the directory structure looked like. And it's absolutely the directory structure you would find in a PlayStation 4 game, which shows that it was obviously developed with PS4 in mind, and then they just ported it over to PC or kept the same structure. I don't know. Having played both, the game is way better on PC. You can adjust the field of view. The graphics are way fucking better. It plays way smoother than on PS4. So they did, if it was a port, they did a decent job of it. But yeah, I hope that PS4 is not somehow behind it all, because with their return policy attitude, having a user-focused approach to this game would seem less possible if they were involved in any way. Fucking PlayStation.
Damn you.
The new Ubisoft.
Yeah, although that PS4 is a fine machine.
It works great. I love it.
Yeah, it's real good.
Man. That story about the return.
It's one step forward, two steps back with these guys. It's like, hey, PlayStation Vue is awesome. Also, here's a draconian return policy that helps no one.
Yeah, and then also, PlayStation Now is coming to PC.
That's cool.
PlayStation Now, yeah. PlayStation Now is the... Is it just PS3 games?
No. They're... Is it? I thought there were some PS2 games as well. No, there were.
Anything you could play on PS3, I believe. So anything that was like through the backward compatibility of the PS3, you can play PS2 games, I believe is how that works. Because there's like a library of like 400 games or something.
Yeah.
And you can do like a monthly or yearly subscription, and it's just a library of games that you can play, and they are making that system available on PC, because you're essentially just streaming the games. So there's not really any emulation to do, as far as I understand it. It's just all coming to you
through the tubes. Coming through the tubes, John.
That works.
Yeah, I was a subscriber to that for a while. I ended up thinking that it wasn't quite worth the value for me. Because it was like $20 a month. And that's a little steep for, I want to play Hotshots Golf for 20 minutes.
Yeah, like if you got a lot of time to play games, it's probably a great service.
Sure, and it worked reasonably well. There were some buffer issues here and there, but for the most part, yeah, it's a totally fine service. I wish it were a little more reasonably priced, but the fact that you can play those games on PC now is great.
Yeah, I mean, it's great that they're doing it. I don't know why that wasn't a thing sooner. I don't know. I always wonder why, even if you have something that's exclusive to your console, why you don't also release it on PC. Like, you can still stick it to the other consoles. But, like, I don't know. I guess maybe they still consider themselves to be in competition with the PC. I don't know. It just seems like there's always a large contingent of people who are PC gamers that don't own a console, so why wouldn't you sell it to them also? Just kind of...
Exactly. Yeah, it doesn't hurt. It does. I mean, certainly it's going to cost you more money to do that, but I feel like in the long run, it does nothing to harm you, really.
I've never quite understood why that wasn't a thing, and apparently now neither does anyone else.
It just seems like they're trying to beat Microsoft to the punch with some of the stuff they're trying to do with like Windows 10 and making it easier to port games over to Windows 10. And I mean, and being able to play those games is pretty cool, because I mean, it's, you know, there's a lot of stuff you can probably just pick up for 10, 15 minutes, 20, 30 minutes.
And eventually we'll all just plug ourselves into the same machine a la Ready Player One, and every game ever made will just be available right there in front of us. So it's the dream. That's the dream.
We are the Borg. Right.
So we're up on PlayStation again. Let me bring you back down on PlayStation. Because they're raising the price of PlayStation Plus in North America to... Year was previously $49.99, and now it will be $59.99. And there wasn't... That's U.S. dollars. There wasn't any announcement along with it stating that, hey, you're getting something more with this price increase, or they didn't either make any sort of statement that said... We're increasing the price because they just said, yeah, price is going up. And that's it.
Deal with it.
If I may play devil's advocate. First of all, that's $5 a month. I still think that's a great deal.
$10. No, sorry, yearly. You're right. Yep.
Yeah. You're right. $60 a year, right? Monthly. $5 if you buy the full ride. The PlayStation Network has never had this player base.
It's new to them.
You know, right, PS3 was never an online service the way that the PlayStation 4 online features are. So, yeah, I mean, they're growing. They've got a giant user base that's testing, I'm sure, their network. And I think their network has gotten a ton better, but good Lord, those download speeds are still reprehensible.
It's the fucking worst, man.
Right. So, you know, I say go ahead. If you want to charge me an extra $10 a year, I think the service is worth it. And also fix some problems if you're going to do that. You know, like, I don't know that they're going to come out and say, like, hey, we're going to fix these download problems, because that's admitting a problem that they're not admitting.
Yeah.
But, you know, maybe there will be some good use put to that money, and it's not just like, ha-ha, this is all profit. You know, I'm sure some of that money's got to go somewhere to, you know, R&D or something.
Yeah, I mean, and they could literally say just that. Yes, you know, due to... increases in the cost of network infrastructure and the growth of the service, you know, there's a lot more people using it, so we need to expand our servers, whatever. It's like, say something. Like, just this black box that is sometimes Sony is...
Well, you know...
fucking irritating. It's just like, God, there's... Like, who is the advisor that's saying, yeah, do it this way? Like, that guy should get fucking fired, and they should bring somebody in there that just goes, no, just tell people what you're doing.
But Nintendo's kind of the same way, too. You know? I mean, they're super secretive and crazy restrictive about what people stream and all that stuff. Like, it's just... It's a different mindset for Japanese companies than it is for Microsoft. But I still say PlayStation's a lot further down the road than Nintendo, though. it could be worse.
Yes.
Trying to look on the sunny side and whatnot.
Did you guys read the article about the new specific claims made by ZeniMax against Oculus Rift, stating that it was built on a stolen technology that John Carmack fucking ripped off?
I would like to reference The Social Network when Mark Zuckerberg says, if you had invented Facebook, you would have invented Facebook. And I believe that this is all this sounds like to me, is like, well, we did this and we did that, and then he left and he stole this stuff. Well, then why didn't you come out with a VR headset?
Yeah.
Why? Yeah. Either it didn't mean enough to your company to pursue it while he was there, so he left. And
from, sounds like sour grapes.
It really does.
The smartest fucking programmer on the planet go somewhere else, you dopes.
Yeah, I mean, like, like hands down, one of the smartest people when it comes to like engine design. Really, just programming in general. I mean, the dude is just crazy, and his brain does not work the same way as normal people.
Yeah, so they're saying, let me see if I can find the quote here. In the summer of 2013, Carmack's employment contract with ZeniMax expired, the document alleges. On August 1st, 2013, Carmack became Oculus's chief technology officer. Before leaving ZeniMax, Carmack secretly and illegally copied thousands of documents containing ZeniMax intellectual property from his computer at ZeniMax to a USB storage device, which he wrongfully took with him to Oculus.
Okay.
After he had joined Oculus, Carmack, hold on, returned to ZeniMax premises and took, without permission, a customized tool that Carmack and other ZeniMax personnel had developed for work on virtual reality.
That Lucky Palmer gave them.
Yeah. Once again, you got a copy of all this shit. Where's your fucking headset?
Yeah, well, and the same thing is, that's a pretty bold claim, saying that he like took thousands of documents and put them on a USB drive. Well, where's your proof? You know, if you have the proof, be like, here's the link to the YouTube video that shows him, you know, copying the files and walking out of the premises with, you know, here's the USB key on his, you know, his you know, car keys or whatever. Like, you can just say that happened, and that is stupid.
There's a bunch of stuff really twisted. Like, they're really slamming Lucky Palmer too. Let me find that quote as well. Lucky lacked the training, expertise, resources, or know-how to create commercially viable VR technology. His computer programming skills were rudimentary, and he relied on ZeniMax computer program code and games to demonstrate the prototype Rift, the complaint says. Nevertheless, this fraudulent tale was frequently reported in the media as fact. Lucky increasingly and falsely held himself out to media and the public as a visionary developer of the Rift's VR technology, which had actually been developed by ZeniMax without any substantial contribution from Lucky. That entire statement, John Carmack refutes.
Yeah. I mean, the whole reason that they had the original hardware to begin with was Lucky Palmer, and Lucky Palmer from the beginning has never claimed to be some sort of, you know, technological visionary. He's just a guy who wanted VR to happen and wanted to surround himself with smarter people than him who could actually make it happen.
Yeah. It's let's see. Carmack was describing, because he was working on VR as a side project. Yeah.
He got,
and so that basically, this is what ZeniMax is going to say when they go to court, is he was working on this using our computers. Like, maybe he was doing it after work, maybe he was doing it, you know, but they are stating, this is work that happened under our roof, so therefore it belongs to us. They're doing that old thing. I used to come up against this with, when I was a graphic designer for years and years, we would contract, sometimes we would need like 3D models for some training, you know, that we were designing or something. And we would contract a 3D modeler to come in and build objects for us in 3D that we would then just, you know, render out as JPEGs, and we would, you know, plunk them in this training program that we were building. And constantly the company that I worked for was trying to force these guys into these, you know, get them to sign documents that says you can never use this model anywhere again, no matter where you go. Even though this is something you built undercut, like they had like these extremely, to use Bo's word, draconian contracts that they would like literally force them to sign. There was an incident once at this company that I work for where this guy had been working there for a couple of weeks, and then they came to him after he had basically finished all of the work that they contracted him for and said, okay, even though we had a contract with you previously, you now need to sign this document as well, or we're not going to pay you. And the guy refused and left the building and said, well, you know, it was like his time. They did it at like 5 o'clock in the afternoon, and he left, and then came back the next day. He had decided, I don't want to work here anymore. I'm going to take my shit home. So he had brought his own hardware into the office because the computers we had were not powerful enough to process. He was like using 3D Studio Max, and what we had couldn't render the shit out. And when he got to the office, my boss at the time, after everyone had left work, opened up his computer case, took out his fucking hard drive, put it in one of the company's computers, and copied all of his files over.
What?
Damn. And it was, and they did this kind of shit all the time, and it just sounds like this exact same argument that ZeniMax is making. Like, well, you know, yes, he was working there while he did this stuff, but you know, obviously, someone else came in with technology that led to the ultimate kind of product that we have. Like, it was kind of a marriage of two things together, and. Yeah, maybe he worked for you on some of it, but like their claim, what's ultimately going to sink them, I think, is that their claim is that Palmer Luckey's a fucking idiot who had nothing to do with this. Obviously, he can prove, you know, otherwise, or Facebook never would have bought into it. Like, Facebook doesn't just throw $2 billion at some risky shit, you know?
Yeah, they just want some money. And they know,
they were bought for $2 billion. They want to get their payday out of it. So yeah. Maybe they just settle. Who knows?
I mean, that's what
it's really interesting.
Yeah. They're the Winklevoss twins, okay? These are the people you just got to get out of the way for it to just happen. It's the dirty stuff that really no one's going to remember ZeniMax, you know, in the end of this. You know, it's just, they're just inconsequential at this point.
Yeah. It's interesting because ZeniMax is a pretty big company. I mean, they're the parent company of Bethesda Softworks, which actually owns id Software now. And they own a ton, like they were big into magazines. Like ZeniMax owns a ton of shit, but they're not Facebook big.
Yeah.
So.
And they're not going to do anything for virtual reality at this point.
Are you building a headset? Like, did this prevent you from putting your own out? Like those kind of questions always come up in court. Like, okay, you're saying this was stolen from you, but where is your advancements after that?
Yeah, the only thing they have is that there's going to be a Doom VR and there's going to be a Fallout VR, and I don't think that is ZeniMax, you know, putting down some decree from high above that says that those things must happen. It's someone in those individual companies wanting that to happen, just like John Carmack wanted to make VR in the first place.
I want to watch the Law and Order version of this court case,
right?
Because it would be, because I mean, there's a lot of really interesting stuff going on here, because it's John Carmack's brain is extremely valuable, because that guy just seems to have a natural ability to, you know, innovate technology. He's just one of those guys. He's a Bill Gates type, you know, he's a Steve Jobs type. He's a, you know, Steve Wozniak guy. And they're rare. And you had him under your roof, and he decided to go somewhere else to do something that, I mean, if you were letting him do that at ZeniMax, would he have left? I mean, you got to wonder, why didn't they, like, Palmer Luckey comes in with this technology, why didn't they fucking develop the Rift? I mean.
And it's not like Palmer Luckey came in and they had Facebook money. This was long before that was a thing. I mean, that certainly they may have known something about it, but this is long before the public, you know, or even John Carmack probably would have known that kind of involvement, you know, was going to become that huge.
So it's interesting, because this is like, so all of these, like, you know, specific, you know, hardcore accusations are as of August 16th, an amended complaint filed August 16th. Originally, they started this case in 2014? Yeah. Originally filed suit in May of 2014. So now 2 years later, they're saying, oh, yeah, and all this stuff. So that's, I don't know. It's weird. It's fascinating. I can't wait to hear what the resolution is. I mean, I hope it's not just one of these, everybody gets a gag order, there's a settlement, and we never get to hear what actually happened. Because that's boring. I totally want to know the dirt.
I want Judge Judy there. I want Judge Joe Mathis there. You know, let's do this.
I want Judge Wapner there.
Yeah. I want Phoenix Wright on.
Yeah, Phoenix Wright.
I want Phoenix Wright behind one of those desks. I don't care which one.
That'd be great.
Objection.
It could be DLC for Phoenix Wright.
That would be great. I keep waiting for the
versus Oculus.
The O.J. Simpson DLC for Phoenix Wright
is what I'm looking for.
Oh.
Yeah, so that story is fucking fascinating, but we could talk about that for a long time. Do you guys remember Allison Road, the PT alike, a horror genre game that was suddenly thrust into the spotlight when PT got canceled?
I am familiar.
And then there was a video of Allison Road, and then they had a successful Kickstarter, and then canceled their Kickstarter because they got funding with Team 17, the developer or publisher behind the Worms series. I'm sure most people are familiar with them from. And then the project got canceled. And now kind of the main guy who started this whole thing has come back and said, yeah, I stepped away from it for a while, and now I've kind of been reinvigorated, and I'm going to start up this project again. And I have no idea how long it's going to take and exactly where all of the funding will come from, or, you know, who will be involved. But he says, yeah, I'm working on it. So
I almost think that that might be the best thing that for this game.
Yeah, like go back to where you started. And he hasn't said, yeah, we're going to kickstart it.
He said they won't. Well, he said...
Yeah, he said, don't expect to see Allison Road back on Kickstarter. Chris Kessler told Polygon via email. So they contacted him, and he said, the game whose development is currently going slower than before, quote, will be funded by Kessler himself for the time being.
I think...
Actually, I'm working freelance jobs to earn money to finance development, he said.
So, I wonder if... You know, the studio got involved, were pushing maybe a timeline on him, and he really was just like, this is going to, you know, I don't know how long, you know, same thing here. It's like, I don't know how long this is going to take, and probably dedicating his life to just doing that probably seemed like a nightmare, you know? So I think it's cool. It's kind of taking more of like a passion project
path at this point. Yeah, he's got a vision for it, and... Yeah, and maybe they weren't down with whatever his vision was. No. I'm assuming mostly because of whatever the timeline would be to accomplish what he wanted to do. So,
I'm all for less like studio involvement in games and more just, here's a person who really wants to make this kind of game. Just let them do, you know, just let them go do it and just throw some money at them.
Well, and like Dwarf Fortress is a perfect example of that. It is two brothers. They've been working on that game for like 14 years or something ridiculous. And they just, you know, keep adding more to it. And I've read numerous interviews with them, and it always kind of boils down to the same thing. They're like, yeah, you know what? We make enough so that we can keep doing it.
Yeah, that's awesome.
They're not super greedy. They just really like, they really believe in this idea, and they haven't stopped enjoying doing it yet. And they make enough money where they don't have to do anything else. And that's enough. So.
And they hate each other. After 14 years, there are a lot of grudges in that room.
I will fucking kill you if you touch that key on the keyboard again.
Oh, God, the way you just keep tap, tap, tapping.
God damn it, stop. Titanfall 2. What do you guys know?
As much as you know, probably.
Okay. I've saw that they did a they called it a tech test, which was some multiplayer testing on that game, and I thought it looked kind of cool, and then I stepped away for a few days and came back, and apparently there's just like tons of, you know, ire and people saying, no, this fucking sucks and there needs to be more of this. And to their credit, the developer who's making this shit, it's what do they call
Respawn.
No. Respawn, yeah. They're a spinoff from Infinity Ward.
Yeah, it's the guys who made the good Modern Warfares who got ticked off and then left and started Respawn.
Yep. So apparently they have come out and said they're doing another tech test. I think it starts this weekend. I have no idea how to get into this. I don't know if this is like an alpha you can get into or how they're handing out keys or anything for it. But they, you know, that was just a real brief article. It says, we've heard your complaints and, you know, we're making changes along these lines, you know, to make the game more enjoyable for more people. So
I'm really looking forward to the single player that's in this. I mean, these guys, the people who make this game are known for making some of the best single player first person shooters that came out, at least, you know, while I was playing games through school and stuff. And, I mean, they're gonna, I feel like they're gonna do a good job. It's not gonna be this epic 60-100 hour campaign, but it's gonna be like maybe 20-30 hours that are gonna be really fun.
I'm willing to check it out. I mean, I never bought the original Titanfall, but there was something there. Like, yeah, it wasn't everything it needed to be, but it was cool in a new way. It was, you know, a cool shooter, but it wasn't worth what they were asking at the time. Like, you could probably go pick up that game for a song right now, and it would be, you know, $10 worth of a lot of fun, probably. But I'm anxious to see what this turns out like.
Yeah, I obviously didn't play it, but I watched a pretty good stream of it, and it seemed like Titanfall, but with more stuff, and that seemed cool.
Yeah, and that was a big complaint. Like, yeah, Titanfall's neat, but this is all of it. So, what else you got? But I think one of my biggest complaints about the first one was the maps were not, they weren't big or anything. They weren't all that engaging. So you had like these giant robots walking around and not much ground to cover. Like, I think I would have enjoyed it more if it had more of a battlefield size map with more open
just
areas, more, you know, which
more of like a mech warrior.
Yeah.
Type of setup, exactly, for multiplayer.
Yeah, you say giant robots and immediately I think mech warrior. So
yeah, I mean,
it's probably what put a lot of people off of it. Let me go back to. I'm moving on. You guys got anything else about Titanfall or?
Nope.
Nope. All right.
Nah, I'm curious to see how it turns out.
Yeah.
You know.
I already talked about the new episode of Hitman, episode 4, Bangkok. Go get some of that. Did you guys see the closing ceremonies of the Olympics when Japan's prime minister popped up out of a green pipe in the middle of the stadium dressed as Mario?
No, but that is amazing. And I love how Japan just embraces Mario. Like, that is their cultural icon for sure.
Yeah, there was a trailer that like kind of accompanied it, and the payoff at the end of the trailer is he pops out of the pipe in the stadium, and it's, the trailer's got all kinds of Olympians in it, but then there's like Pac-Man and Mario and a bunch of anime characters and shit all in it. And it's, so it seems like they're leaning into that shit. So, I mean, depending on how much of that stuff is actually in the broadcast, that could be
well,
pretty goddamn
I
awesome.
Mean, it's not like the games are going to involve Sonic the Hedgehog and Yoshi or anything. I mean, I agree that would get me to watch the Olympics, but I don't think that's happening.
I mean, even just like some successful branding using some of, you know, that culture would go a long way. Like the Rio Games, like there was not enough really small bikinis and ass. I mean, show me some fucking carnival where everybody's naked, you know? Like, everybody's naked. That's what I want to see when you're telling me the games are in Rio. Like, give me some parties and stuff after, you know? I want to see, what's the guy that, the Lochte, yeah, the guy that's, like, caused a fucking international incident because he, like, lied about smashing up some bathroom and then told everybody that he got held up in the street. Like, I want to see footage of that party after hours. With Brian Lochte.
No, that guy's an idiot.
Yup.
They did it. They ripped him a new one on Last Week Tonight, and it was wonderful.
Yeah, that was really funny.
That's the best word I've heard for him yet. An idiot.
What I want is like pay-per-view webcam footage of the Olympic Village.
There you go.
Just to...
You know there's some fucking going on
I mean,
there,
it is... For lack of a better word, Olympic, the amount of sex that is supposedly going on in the Olympic Village any given Olympic year. Because you bring a bunch of young, horned up kids together who are in the best shape of their damn lives. Like,
they're just running on all cylinders. I mean, they're just tip top, you know?
Yeah, yeah. It is nothing but. Like, if children were the result of that, they would just be the master race, you know, like they'd be able to do anything like bicycle and shoot.
Finally X-Men level mutations right. Would start happening.
Finally a Nightcrawler.
Yeah, thank god.
Right, just bamfs right out of a womb, you know.
Yep. Don't you know, high jump over that pole, just teleport to the other side of it.
Right.
That still counts.
Or, well, you want to pop like 40 feet in the air above anything you're jumping over, yeah. And then, yeah, teleport back down. Yeah, that'd be fantastic. Why aren't they doing that?
I don't know.
Why are we not breeding superhumans?
Somebody call John Carmack immediately. I really like this story, and kind of there seems to be a trend emerging here. I always do this in the news. Unconsciously, I pick all these stories that are about the same kind of stuff. The programmer who originally worked on Fez, which I still think is a super awesome game. What's his name? Dang it. Bedard is his last name. He was the main programmer in the game, and Phil Fish was the designer of it. And it has been 2 years, I think. No. I forget when the last update was submitted for Fez on PC, but this guy just pushed out a huge patch, which fixes about 120 bugs. And he kind of just did this on his own time, just because he's really proud of Fez, and he wanted to like kind of fix some lingering things that were still bugging him and people about it. And the way that he tested it was he just gave beta tests of his patches to fans and speedrunners to test it, to try to break it and make sure that he had done it well. So it was kind of a community effort to make Fez as good as it can be, and then everybody's just going to finally walk away and say, there it is. It's fixed.
Ah, what a nice PS on that game.
Yeah. Yeah. So it's just kind of for the love of this cool thing that they made. 9 years. He says he's been working on it for 9 years.
Is Fez 9 years old?
I mean, if you consider the break he took from it, it's been 9 years since he
started. Oh, okay, I'm sorry.
That's pretty cool. And if you haven't played Fez, that's a really unique, super awesome game. Star Citizen. Apparently, it's the only thing that happened at Gamescom, because I didn't hear anything about anything that happened at Gamescom except for the 1 hour long video showing Star Citizen Alpha 3.0.
Yeah, if you literally type into Google Gamescom 2016, the first thing that pops up is this video.
Yeah. And I mean, it's cool. The video's cool. They leave a space station, fly to a planet. It's all seamless. The planet doesn't like pop in. There's kind of a deliberate No Man's Sky dig at that point in the video. Like, you can tell they're kind of saying, it doesn't pop in.
No draw distance. No, like,
yeah. I mean, don't get cocky, man.
Well, they're doing some crazy stuff with that technology wise. Like, they're just on the bleeding edge of that level of like fidelity. The way they're simulating the world in, I guess it's like 64 bits instead of 32 bits. So now you can get a lot more precise, and then now you can have a lot a bigger environment. It's just wild.
I think the part that kind of caught my attention the most wasn't the, seamless flying into the planet. It was once they got there, the guy got out, went into the base, got in the elevator, took the elevator down, and then looked out the window of the elevator while he's going down. And the guy who had just dropped him off in the ship was flying outside the window of the elevator, kind of slowly going down at the same speed. And then they kept cutting between the two cameras, and they cut to the cockpit camera, and then the pilot zoomed in on the elevator, and you could see the other player character standing in there waving. That was pretty fucking amazing. Yeah,
that is like, it's something so simple, but just what it took to get to this point is just crazy. And later on,
it seems simple.
Yeah, it's one of those things where it's one of those things where you try to explain it to someone who doesn't play video games. You're like, yeah, oh, you can just like fly down this planet. You get out, and if I'm walking around, like the guy in the spaceship can also see me walking around on the planet. And they're like, you know, people are just like, well, why isn't that the way it always was? And you're like, well, we couldn't do that before. You know, we really couldn't do it this way. And it's even cooler later in that video when the guy's like pinned down in a firefight and the guy shows back up in the spaceship and just blows the guys away. And he's like, all right, you're cool. And just flies off.
He runs out of ammo or something like that. And then Chris Roberts goes, oh, I guess you'll need a little help. And then all of a sudden you just hear ba-boom, ba-boom, ba-boom. And a couple of bodies go flying and it's just over because he just shot him with the ship's cannons.
That all sounds great. That was I really want to play that game.
So,
yeah.
Yeah, I mean,
end of the year.
Man, you know, just don't put it out unless it works. Just don't.
I will say that what they've got going now in the, you know, what you can play right now today is certainly the best space game I've ever played. Even in its current state. I mean, there are people who are like, this game could just die and I would just sit around and play like what is there now because it's that good. You know, but obviously we want everything. We want Chris Roberts to just, his eyes just like light up and I can tell there's so much more magic, you know, that's going to come from this game that there are things that we probably can't even imagine that they've got up their sleeves.
I got to download that again.
Bankroll, so.
Yeah. They got,
hopefully they're putting it around.
They got
place.
A cast. They got Gary Oldman. They got Gillian Anderson. Like, this thing is legit. Yeah. It's awesome.
Yeah. The only thing that worries me about it is the first person controls when you're on foot look really floaty to me. And I don't know if that's actually the feel you get when you're playing it, because I haven't touched Star Citizen in a long time, but in your experience, does it have that feel? Like, just from the gameplay trailer, it looked, I don't know, not super tight. I don't know how else to describe it.
Would you say that, like, DayZ was kind of like, it's a little floaty? You kind of have to know how to play Arma and know how to play that. I think it's kind of like that, where there are certain things that you would probably normally do in an FPS where you're just, like, sprinting, you know, in a direction and changing directions really quickly. Like, the way they do their animations is different. They intentionally want things to be a little bit slower. And you can tell, like, in that demo too, when they're fighting each other, it takes a fair amount of shots to actually, you know, kill your enemy. And I think that's intentional in that it's not as bad as, like, The Division, but I think it's that they don't want people spending, you know, an hour and 45 minutes getting to the end of a mission and then just dying from one shot, you know?
And then you get DayZ shot in the head.
Yeah.
And in 2 seconds, you're gone. Yeah.
You know.
That would be rough.
And I'm okay with that. It's the future. I got a spacesuit on. Maybe it's special, you know, and I don't die as easy. And maybe there will obviously be varying degrees of that depending on the spacesuit you have, I imagine.
Yeah.
I'm really excited.
So before they release 3.0 is at the end of the year, they're releasing 2.5, and even the trailer for that looks pretty fucking sweet.
Yes, that looks cool too.
I don't know when that's scheduled to come out, but I think it's just kind of soon.
I think when it's ready is always their answer, and that's always the perfect answer. Now they do a player test environment as well. I think you have to sign up for something through your account, but you can also, I mean, you can get into that, and it's kind of like playing the DayZ dev branch where you can see some stuff that they're just kind of toying around with. There are new features. There have been things that have shown up there that aren't in the game that just showed up, you know, for a build that they're just like, well, we'll just play around with this and see. And I'm sure it's, you know, things that'll pop up later. So yeah, that's a cool thing. If like you really want to be on the edge of seeing that game being made, you can tough out the 45 gig download every time they push a new build.
Yeah. Well, and it seems like with games that are, you know, kind of pushing the edge like that, it almost seems like that's the only way you can do it, is you really need to just have, you know, an experimental branch running and forego the reveal of how awesome your game is. You know, like No Man's Sky was very secretive, and they released it, and it was, you know, super fucking broken for several days because they had to run a lot of patches for it. And with Star Citizen, if you've constantly got people playing it, like, the chances of that are way, way less.
Oh, yeah. So, I think at the end, you know, when they're like, oh, it's done, it's out, it's going to be in a almost, if not the best shape it can be in.
No.
Hopefully.
Believe it when I see it, man.
Hopefully stable enough to run on a whatever head virtual reality headset comes out by the time this comes out.
Are you playing on a HOTUS with Star Citizen?
For Star Citizen, you know, honestly, I have that Thrustmaster Warthog, and I really find it to be more trouble than it's worth to play with a big, you know, set of peripherals like that. I feel like Xbox controller might be the way
really?
To go.
Really? Okay.
And then just...
It works good for flight, man.
Yeah, and then just swapping to mouse and keyboard when you go first person. And then I really like, in Star Citizen, there's just another app called Voice Attack, which just you, if you have your microphone on, you say, you know, shields up. And then it will just press the key to turn your shields on. So
that's fucking awesome.
Yeah. So, and you can do it for like any. I had it set up for Daisy at some point where I would just be like, run. And it would just hold the run key down, you know, until I come back and
fucking run. Yeah,
until I come back and I say, you know, computer, or, you know, there's like a word you say that calls it to listen to, you know, your command. And once you train it, it works perfectly. I had it set up really, really crazy for Star Citizen at one point where. There are these people who have put out, it's almost like a Voice Attack like plugin, but it's like just for Star Citizen, where it's got voice commands down to the point where it'll like read you back information. It's crazy. So like you can get really wild, but that makes it so much easier, and you can play with less of a peripheral. If I can say landing gear instead of stumbling for a key for landing gear, if I can say, you know, quantum drive, and it just, you know, turns that thing on.
Plus it sounds kind of badass.
It does.
You should make it so that anytime you want to heal, you just go Beverly.
Shut up, Wesley.
I couldn't not have Star Trek. Talking about space.
I think Shut Up, Wesley should close the game. That's your exit, like your hard crash. Shut up, Wesley.
He's dead, Jim. Yeah, that looks super cool. All right, so for our last story, possibly the best peripheral idea I've ever seen in my entire life is for South Park's new game, which is entitled The Fracture Butthole. Butthole? The Fractured Butthole. Has a peripheral that basically looks like an Oculus Rift, except it's called the Nozulist Rift.
I love it.
And you mount it on your head, and it covers your nose. And there's a mechanic in the new South Park game where you fart. You just have a dedicated button on your controller to fart. I think that was in the Stick of Truth as well. I think you could just fart.
Yeah.
But with this peripheral, there's some sort of oil system in it or something that every time you fart in the game, it actually sprays it into this mask, so you have to smell the fart. And the article about it that I found on Polygon is actually really funny. It was just written by, oh man, I don't know how to say her last name, Megan Farukmanish.
Looks right.
And she, the article is called South Park, The Fractured Butthole's Fart-Smelling Peripheral is a Sin Against Humanity. the subtitle is, The Smell of Utter Despair is a Lot Like a Fart. Where her comment on it, I gotta find it here, hold on. They call it a fart smell.
Yeah.
But it is the scent that farts fart. It is a concentrated blast of an all-day musical festival's worst porta potty. It is a used diaper left to wither and die in the desert sun just after being sprayed with the bad breath of someone who loves eating heavy cheeses and corpses, probably.
It's really like this is an amazing article. It's really funny.
Yeah, I won't spoil everything, but yeah, the picture of the journalist that did this is fucking hilarious. Like, it looks like she's wearing some sort of, she's got headphones on, but then like it looks like almost like a scuba rebreather sort of mounted over her face. And it's like, it's really kind of a nicely designed looking peripheral. It's like they didn't just fucking throw this thing together. Like, there's some kind of cool looking industrial design to this thing. but the ultimate payoff is, according to the very lovely Ubisoft rep who subjected to me to this nausea inducing experience, only 8 to 10 of these monstrosities exist. So if you see one,
it'd be great for multiplayer. Yeah. if you could fart in another player's face. Does Star Citizen do that?
Right. You could fart in the ship and it just kind of lingered the whole time you were in there. Just kind of, oh man. All right, everybody go to the cockpit. We're going to vent the entire ship.
Yeah.
That'd be good.
In space, that's the news. No one can hear you fart.
Everyone can smell you fart in space.
That's right.
Yeah. I feel like I heard an astronaut answer a question about that once.
Yeah, they said the ISS just smells like farts.
Yeah, I mean, you probably just got to get used to it. Like, yeah. It's like living next to a pig farm or something. Like, you just don't smell it after a while because how do they? I mean, eventually it goes through some sort of, you know, air scrubber or something, some kind of charcoal filters, you know. It has to. Otherwise, it would just smell like ass in there all the time.
That's the ISS's dirty secret, is that it's just the most god-awful smelling place.
In the same way that Bruce Banner is always angry, the ISS always smells like secret. Ass.
I tell you what would really suck is sweating in space, because the surface tension of water would make it so that it would just stick to your body. It would just like pool to your body. That would just be horrible.
Yeah, there's some video I saw of an astronaut where they're like playing with water in zero gravity, and he sticks his face into the, like, there's a big sphere of water floating in front of him, and he sticks his face in it. And he has to like grab a towel and kind of like reach in his mouth with it, because just what you're saying, the surface tension of it was keeping him from breathing because he couldn't pierce the surface tension. And like looks like it kind of freaked him out for a second. Oh, it was, fuck that.
God, it sounds like space sucks.
Drown in a ball of water in space. That was how you went out. That blows.
Well, they've already got to sleep with a fan over there. Noses, otherwise the carbon dioxide pulls around your head at night.
Fucking space. Pain in the ass. Man.
It's almost like we weren't supposed to go there.
Right. That it's somehow inhospitable to man.
Like, there's some higher power telling us that maybe we should just stay on our own planet and not, you know, travel off into the expanse of nothingness.
I would be willing to believe that if it was from the motivational standpoint that being just didn't want us to fuck up the rest of the universe because humans are the worst. Yeah,
he's got some more important stuff going on, and he really doesn't need you to show up to it, okay?
If you guys come here, you're just going to fucking trash the place, so just stay.
Right. I got a whole planet full of platypus people that are rocking it. Like, have invented a form of representative democracy that totally works and the population's educated. It's amazing. Also, you know, they're platypuses, and that's pretty rad.
Yeah. That's it. That's all I got.
All right. That is the news. We have no comments, questions, or recipes this week, so get on that, folks. Instead, I will point you towards stfgaming.com. On that page, you will find links to the Twitter and the Facebook and the Twitches. We've also got The look at Tokyo Mirage Sessions just went up recently. And then I know Dolan's been putting up the Hitman stuff, and I'll at some point I'll do something more official with RimWorld. Right now I'm just kind of streaming it for fun.
I watched a little bit of that Tokyo Mirage Sessions, and I have to say the amount of, well, Dolan, and then you have to explain something that should, you know, is just so apparently obvious to the people who play that game. But it's just so nonsensical to the rest of us. I love it.
Right.
It's an hour and a half of me going, huh?
Yeah.
Why?
Tiki. Head over there and you'll find that stuff, which has been pretty fun. So, guys, what are you going to be playing in the next week? Let's begin with you, John.
I cannot wait to get back to No Man's Sky. Actually, talking to you guys is preventing me from discovering things right now, so I don't mean to be cold or anything, but I got places to be in that universe. When I'm done with that, I have a goal. I have a set goal in mind. I am on the path of the Atlas in No Man's Sky. I currently have 6 Atlas stones. I am one system away from another Atlas interface. And I may have spoiled for myself through reading a few articles that you need to get 10 Atlas stones before you can go on to some unknown thing. I've been really trying to not spoil anything about that game for myself. But I do know that much, that I am nearing some sort of thing that happens when you get to that many Atlas stones. I don't know what you do with them or what happens. The only other thing that I know is that path is kind of separate from the get to the center of the galaxy path. So once I complete whatever the Atlas path is, that's going to be my main focus in that game. I really want to see what is all involved in that. I mean, you know, whether or not there's a payout at the end of it, I don't know if I particularly care. I just kind of have this, I don't know, something pushing me to complete that game, unlike a feeling I get from a lot of other games. And then I definitely want to pick up RimWorld because that sounds fucking awesome. So,
and Justin?
I will probably also be playing some more No Man's Sky and check out some of those mods. I am hoping to get a little bit of time and sit down with This Is the Police and try and get into that some more. I have not had a chance to play that anymore since the day I played it for a little bit.
Awesome. I will be playing certainly more RimWorld. Because that game has kind of captured my imagination in a big bad way. And also, I think I'm going to download Star Citizen. Let's take this 1070 for a walk in the park. And
well, you let me know when that happens. And I have a freelancer, and you could come get onto my ship. I'm like,
fall for it. He's gonna totally fart as soon as you know.
I'm going to space you.
It's gonna fart right in your face, and then
here's a special suit just for you.
Put this one on. This was the last first mate's spacesuit.
He wore a lot of brute.
When you get on, if he's got the poster from Futurama, which has one of my favorite things about that show, which is the saying for Planet Express, which is our crew is replaceable, your package isn't.
Right.
Get off that ship. Don't get off.
No, that is not good. We may very well do that. I'll probably Sunday is when I might dig into that. So okay. I'll give you a yell. So sdfgaming.com. Check us out then. We will be back in 2 weeks. With another new episode of the Shotcast. Thank you, as always, for being with us. And when you're checking out the show on iTunes, if you would, please leave us a rating and review. It helps out the profile of the show. And thanks again. And say goodbye, everybody.
Goodbye.
Thanks.